Okay, Kuf Samach Zayin, Nesiv Shalom, the bottom of the first column. You know, to you share, we can give one of them to. There you go. Okay, now it's where you're good. Yes, the heat is on anyway.
We're close anyways.
Okay. Amrim is oid, ma'im roi toira oir. What is also, what the pasuk is also indicating by saying that Torah is light. Al derech mamar hakasev, according to what is written in the pasuk, ne'er l'ragli dvarecha v'oilin tzivasi. Your words are a candle for my feet and a light for my path. HaTorah hiner l'ragli. The Torah is a candle for my feet. Api Mamar Chazal HaNizker. According to the Mamar Chazal that was mentioned above, Chazal mentioned the Mamar Chazal on the pasuk. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. Says the pasuk says that the mitzvah is compared to a candle. The Torah is compared to light. And he brought the Chazal, give a mashal, that if somebody's walking at night, so he's vulnerable to fall into pits and to be stuck by thorns. And he's also vulnerable to robbers. So the... if he only lights a candle, that will help him to get away, then he shouldn't fall into the pits. He'll be able to keep away from the thorns. But it's not going to help him. The robbers will still come get him. It's only once that the day breaks, and it's light, that will help him that he shouldn't be attacked by any robbers. So Shavuot day. That in order that his feet shouldn't slip to fall into pits or to be stuck by thorns, for that a candle is sufficient. But the lofty level of the Torah Gedosha is that it's a light for my path. Because the worst out of all of the dark yeter haras, who kasha yesh la adam chashkus be'etzem nesiv chayiv shohelech bay, is when the person has darkness in the actual path of life that he walks in one nesiv anochen, meaning when the person is in the dark and is not sure whether they're walking on the right path altogether. That is the worst. That is the worst out of all doubts and all questions. When a person is confused whether the entire path he's on is the right one or not, that is the worst. The Torah is what illuminates for the person the certainty and the security that one is on the path of life. So it just illuminates the whole picture. It's not just a candle where you're not able to see whether you're on the right path or not. All you're able to see is whether you're falling into ditches. The Torah illuminates the entire picture, so that the person can ensure that they're on the right path. As it says in the Sefer Zichron Kodesh on the pasuk Kiv Goshcha Esavachi, in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov sends the Malachim to Esav, So he says to them, if you meet my brother Esav, meaning why did it say they all know who Esav was? Why does he have to say my brother Esav? Meaning he befriends me like a brother. Yishalcha, and he will ask you, the miata vana sedach, and he'll ask you, who do you belong to? And where are you going? And for who is all this? All the gifts that Yaakov is sending you. For who is all this before you? Meaning that he's defining this pasuk that Esav here is the Yetzirah. So Esav, first of all, he's a brother. Right, he pretends to mean our own well-being. So his question is, the Yetzirah's question is, Kol Ha'olam, the entire world, Vatiferes, and the glory, Vachein HaShakroni, and the false beauty, the false favor, the Hevel HaYofi, and the knot of beauty. How can you withstand all of the heart's desires from all of this to all of this? That's what Esav means to ask when he says, who do you belong to? Where are you going? Who does all this belong to? I mean, how do you withstand all this? Tshuva, so the answer to all this is, you should say, you should say, this belongs to your servant Yaakov. What does that mean? According to what we're saying, it is written that Yaakov is the attribute of Tiferes, Amarum is al Torah, which is symbolized by the Torah. So Yaakov represents Torah. So what we're answering to Esav is, the only way we have the ability to withstand all the temptations of this world is with La'avdachal Yaakov, with your servant Yaakov, with the power of Torah, Shehimidus Emes, which is the attribute of truth. Uma'ira Lirois Es HaShaker Va'ahevel, it the Torah illuminates our eyes to be able to see the falsehood and the nothingness shiyash bechein v'yofi hamaduma that there is in the favor and the beauty which there is in the illusion of favor and beauty of this world. U'me'idas nesiv achayim, and it illuminates the path of life that will continue to illuminate more and more until the brightness of day. As it says in the Gemara, tonight Hisna Kadosh Baruch Hu Masabereishis, that Hashem made a condition with all of creation. And he said to creation, if Israel accept the Torah at the Meskaimen, you can have an existence. But if not, I will return you all to emptiness and nothingness. Meaning, not that it will all turn into nothingness as it was before creation. Rather, without Torah, the world is an empty world. Without Torah, the entire general world and each and every person's individual world, mevulbel, is confused. It's confusion, and filled with contradictions. And there's evil mixed with the good. It's only the world of Torah, who Olam Shekulei Or, is a world that is all light. And as we've said, HaTorah HaKadosh is Sam Tam. The Torah HaKadosh is a potion of perfection, of totality. Refuah Sheyesh Bo Shleimus, it's a cure that has within it Shleimus, it has within it perfection. Ha'ayinu, meaning that it is the cure for all types of Yetzirah. Behind the whole suge Yitzrim Bishin, it's for all types of Yetzirah. The Chumrim is B'mama Chazal, as it is hinted to in the words of Chazal. The Gimel Devarim Nitna Torah. Chazal say that the Torah was given through three things: Ve'esh, fire; Ve'mayim, and water; Ve'amidbar, in the desert. What does this mean? Koyach HaTorah. The power of Torah, whose Sam Tam is a potion of perfection, in all difficult periods that a person goes through. Itim, there are times she yitzahara boya boy ke esh, that the yitzahara burns like a fire. V'chines esh tukad v'atzmoisai, the concept that is written in the pasuk, fire burns in my bones. Meaning that's the yitzahara of taiva, of desire. And then there's the Yetzirah that, I'm sorry, the first one, the fire, I think, was the fire of anger. And then there's the Yetzirah that that is the, like, water, Amaramzim, which is water. It symbolizes love. Ma'ayinu, meaning Shemizgavah b'chol inyonei ahavas rois. The Yetzirah overcomes the person with all different kinds of bad loves. V'yesh matzavim nafshim. And then there are emotional stages. Kashim, difficult emotional stages. Sha'adam, he b'chines midbar, where the person feels like he's in a desert. He midis hifkeres the klipa, which is the concept of Efkeres, of
no yoke.
Right, Efkeres means he has no
boundaries.
Shekol Hanagoisav. How do you say Hefker in English?
Ownerless,
abandoned property. Hefker.
Where the person finds that all of his conduct and all of his actions are mufkar, are hefka. They have no owner. They have no shayna shudda talasma. He has no power over himself. Corresponding to all of these different situations, yesh b'Torah, there is the solution in the Torah. Shenitna be'esh, the Torah was given in fire, v'mayim, in water, v'amidbar, and in the desert. Koiches de kedusha, there are holy powers of fire, water, and desert to counter the fire, water, and desert of the Yetzirah. Koich esh de kedusha. There's the fire of holiness, Shahavla Mapik Havla, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, breath takes out breath, meaning Esha Torah, the fire of Torah, Echelas Esha Tavis, consumes the fire of Tavis, of desire. Chinesmayim, and the concept of water, which is Ahava Degdusha, which is the love for holiness. Ahavas Hashem, which is the love of Hashem. Ahavas HaTorah, love of Torah. Mechava Ahavas Roy is that extinguishes bad loves. In the midbar the kedusha, the concept of a desert of holiness, Yehudim Mason Atzmai Hefker Kemidbar, where the Jew places himself ownerless, like a desert, meaning Shemafkir Atzmai, meaning that he is mafkir, he declares himself ownerless. Vacholash Yeshle Vibchinis, himself and everything that he has, he declares ownerless. Vibchinis Bitla Yeshus, meaning that he nullifies his
ego.
He took on the Cholan Yoni of Keris Tumah, that corrects all concepts of his Keris of Tumah. Basically, what he's saying is that when a person feels hefker, meaning that they're, I feel powerless over my taivas, I feel powerless over whatever is driving me to do what I'm not supposed to be doing, the solution for that is to realize that that I'm powerless. You have to come to that realization. It's not like I'm powerless, okay, therefore I'm going to let everything go. I have to realize that I'm powerless and that I am, that it, only the Rebbeinu Shleilam can control me, and I submit myself to the Divine Blood.
But does it stop him from doing those things?
It does.
It's not immediate.
Right, so the person only feels that they have to give in because we feel like we're in control. We're supposed to be in control and are not in control.
But in the meantime,
but I'm not supposed to be in control. I can only be in control with the help of the Rebbeinu Shleilam.
There's no atheists in foxholes.
Huh?
There's no atheists in foxholes.
There's no immediate help.
Right.
There's no immediate for a society of we need it, this very second.
Right.
Help for what?
Isn't that step one? What's step one?
Powerless over.
That's Mamish Bittel. That's
step one. Powerless over my addiction.
But that's submitting ourselves to a higher power. Right?
Step two is realizing that a higher power could restore me.
Sure,
and step three is making the decision to turn my life and my will over to a higher power.
Sure, there we go. Let me see the show. The Hefker of Kedusha is...
Once you submit yourself to the higher power concept, what guides you at that point? How do you know what you're supposed to do? Where do you get that information from?
The roadmap. You're given the roadmap. This is before you enter the roadmap. Now that you've admitted that, and you're saying, I'm willing to be open to a new solution, now Torah becomes the roadmap for you.
Now it is brought in Medrash Rabbah al Pasuk Yimtza Ehu B'Yaretz Midbar. So you Yilel Yeshima and we're going right, Pasukin. And Hazino. It says the Medrash interprets the Pasuk as follows. Midbar Haya Ha'olam, the world was a desert, Ad Shalayotim Mitzrayim, until Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. The world was a place of emptiness until they came out of Mitzrayim, until they accepted the Torah. But after they left Mitzrayim and they accepted the Torah, what does the Pasuk say after that? he surrounds them, and he built them, Yitzrenu Kishanehoi, and he watches over them like the apple of his eye. Hatzirazeh, this picture that the Medrash draws here, is Midbar HaYoilam, the world was a desert. V'toyu Yilol HaYoilam, the world was empty. K'moishu Shayach V'cholos HaYoilam, just like it is relevant to the world in general, K'moichen V'chol Prat, so also it's relevant to each and every individual. Kol Zman Sha'odam Shekuah V'klipas Mitzrayim, as long as a person is sunk in the klipa of Mitzrayim, who b'chenes midbar, the person is in a concept of a desert. Mufkar l'chol atavis, the person is vulnerable and ownerless to be claimed by all of the desires of the world. The toyu yalala, and he is empty, meaning afilu b'enei atzma mizbayish. And then the person finds himself embarrassed of his own self. After the fire of desire departs from him, meaning after the person fulfills his desire and he no longer has the taiva, the person can't believe that they lowered themselves to that level. How did I reach such a low level? How did I descend so low? The person is embarrassed in his own eyes. But after the person leaves Mitzrayim, and he accepts the Torah, Hashem surrounds him and builds him and watches over him like the apple of his eye. Meaning there are three types of shmira, three types of security that the person has. Three levels. First of all, Yisavivenu, he surrounds him. Merum is al shmira chitzonis, meaning there's Hashem watches over him from the outside. In yonei masa b'poil, meaning that Hashem watches over a person has an extra shmira that his action that he shouldn't fall through with his actions. Yevaneneu, he will build him al derech de'isa, as it is written, bina. So he uses the word yevaneneu, means he will give him understanding. Lashon of bina, bina liba, shmira binyane alev. The person will have shmira. Hashem will watch over him in the concepts of his heart, that his heart shouldn't be compromised. Yitzrenu kishenenu, and then he will watch over him like the apple of his eye. Meaning, shmira and yoni hamoyach. This is a shmira in the concept of the mind, the koyer ishen ha'ayin, which is the source of the eye. Al derech mavonim zal, as the Chazal say, ha'ayin roya, the eye sees, v'alev chaymed, the heart desires, uchlei hamasa gomrim, and the utensils of action finish off. So here the person, corresponding to those three things, the eye, the heart, and the actions, the person has shmira on these three things. Once the person accepts the Torah, Hashem watches over that his eyes shouldn't see what they shouldn't, and that his heart shouldn't desire what they shouldn't, and that the person's tools of action should not do something that is inappropriate. And the Sayyim HaMedrash, and the Medrash finishes off, Ashrei Haznayim Shekach Shamu, fortunate are the ears that heard this. Ad Heichon Chivavon, to what point the Rebbeinu Shleilam favors us. Ad Heichon Shamron, to what point the Rebbeinu Shleilam watches over us. Ad Kishan Enoi, to the point that it is that we are like the apple of his eye.
How do you get to accept all that? You've gone through the first three steps of finally saying that the Rabbanu Shalom is in charge. Now you're left with the residue of where you've come from, what you've done. how do you let go completely so that you don't, you know, you got this battle going between what you've trained yourself all your life plus what you're hearing now from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and you've got to turn it totally over to the Rabbeinu Shalom when you know that last time you did that, you fell off a cliff. How do you get to that trust? How do you get to that...
Well, last time you did it, you didn't fall off a cliff. You know, last time you never trusted the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, I'm not sure exactly what you're saying, because when it says you trusted Rabbeinu Shalom, we're not saying here that the person doesn't have to do anything. You need to be mekabel the Torah. The person needs to accept the Torah. That's basically where it is. I think the main point here is that when a person falls through, that they don't feel hefker. They don't feel like they're on a list. I fell through, and we'll take it from here. We'll work on it. I realize that I'm powerless, and that I have to give it over to. That I'm controlled by the Rabbeinu Shleilam as long as I want to be controlled by the Rabbeinu Shleilam.
I have a quick question. So it seems from here that if a person cobbles a Torah, it's almost impossible to do a Nevera because Hashem's guarding in these three ways. But I don't know.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
There are still times where people cobble the Torah, but there are times where they still feel. Ownerless,
right?
Or you know, the fire or the water, or somebody they feel like the midbar somehow. So I mean, how does
the stronger the Kabbalah is,
uh-huh.
the more shmira the person will have. It's not saying that the person insists on doing an avera that Hashem won't let him do the avera.
Okay.
There's free choice, but there is shmira.
Okay.
If I may, I would answer Jeff by saying that this is a roadmap. You have a vehicle, you've got to get onto the roadmap. Well, you don't learn to play the cello after three lessons. It's all about practice. It's a spiritual practice. To the degree to which you commit to the spiritual practice is the degree to which you will get the serenity that you're looking for.
But did you ever have a GPS that sent you in one direction?
Of course, that's what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm giving you a roadmap. And I'm promising you three things that will protect you so you don't go off the wrong map. You will take that road. That's what he's claiming, that
yeah.
I'm giving you three tools.
Huh? I heard from a speaker, I'm trying to remember, three things to learn from a GPS. One is... that no matter how lost you are, it will get you out of there.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're in New York City.
Secondly, no matter how many wrong turns you make, it will always have patience for you. The third thing.
Never gets angry when you take the wrong turn.
That's it. It always has patience. No matter how many wrong turns you make.
Mike told me
it'll always reroute you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
but I wound up stuck in the middle where I didn't know where I was.
Except just the old program the GPS to say, "You idiot, you."
That's the family GPS.
To get progressively, progressively more frustrated with you as you make the turn.
So I can't use a GPS.
But here again, I got to a point where it said, "You are at your destination." I was nowhere near my destination. So I just instinctively went down a road that took me to a highway. Now, I got to the highway. I didn't know whether right or left. I made the right turn, and I got to where I was going. But there's a point. The GPS got me on the road, but left me off at a point where I had to make a decision.
You gotta put in the right address. Yeah,
yeah, but you don't know the right. I don't know the right address. Everything I've tried has been wrong.
Okay. We'll continue next week.